days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your cares on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you that you would use this broadcast for your glory and honor. Help me now as I teach on the subject of Romans 13 and other related verses. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hello again, this is Gerald Finney, Lead Counsel and Assistant Director of the Biblical Law Center. I'm going to continue the study we started last time on Romans 13, the true interpretation of Romans 13. I'm not going to cover it in its entirety. If you want a more detailed study, go to Render Unto God the Things That Are God's or God Betrayed, both of which are available through churchandstatelaw.com, churchandstatelaw.com. Let's begin our study now. And again, we're taking up where we left off last week. Punishment by civil leaders did not cause Peter and John to violate the biblical principle of separation of church and state, which was at odds with the worldly principle of separation of church and state. The people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon Peter and John, laid hands on them, and held them. We see in Acts 4, 1 and 3. This occurred after Peter and John performed the first apostolic miracle, healing the lame man. The rulers and elders and scribes brought them in and asked them, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Acts 4, 5 and 7. We read then in Acts 4, 8 and also in verses 10 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. We read the response of the rulers and the elders and the scribes in Acts 4:15-20. They conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." These rulers would have had no complaint had Peter and John and the other apostles done what they did under the authority of the rulers. Obviously, Peter and John had not yet been taught that Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2:13 required them to obey the earthly authorities over them in all matters, including spiritual matters. Of course, the apostles, under the authority of the rulers, would not have been able to heal and do other miracles, nor to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. They still understood that the highest power, God Himself, told them to do what they were doing and gave them the power to do it, that no earthly power was given the authority to direct them concerning spiritual matters, that even had an earthly power given the authority to do these matters under earthly authority, they could not have done the miracles or preached the true gospel with power under the authority of the earthly rulers. Many Christians today believe that they and the church they go to can simultaneously achieve God's spiritual goals while operating under the authority of the God of this world, while operating as incorporated 501c3 tax-exempt religious organizations or in some other manner not totally under God. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." After their release, the response of Peter and John and their Christian friends was quite different from what can be expected of quote-unquote Christians today, who now have America's perverted interpretation of Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2:13 at their disposal. Peter and John then went to their own company and prayed, as we read in Acts 4:24-31. "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." We're not seeing that power today in America's churches, my friends, because America's churches and American's Christians and pastors are motivated by fear, pride, and greed. These men knew their Bible. Within their prayer, they quoted from Isaiah 51, verses 12 and 13, and Psalm 2, 1 through 3. They did not take Scripture out of context so that they could forego confronting the rulers. They just asked God to give them boldness to remain under His authority while speaking the word of the Lord and doing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. They were concerned with not only preaching the word, but also with doing for their fellow man under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew they could not do any good for their fellow man without the power of God. And they could not have the power of God should they operate under the authority of the state or anyone else. The apostles continued to violate today's perverted interpretation of Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2:13, and they were so presumptuous as to do so in public places, which is improper according to many of today's state-indoctrinated quote-unquote Christians who advise other Christians not to preach on the street or do door-to-door evangelism or any public ministry because they quote-unquote feel that to do so is offensive to others and wrong, and the proper place for these activities is within the four walls of a church building. The apostles continued to do signs and wonders among the people, healing many sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Because of this, the high priest and all they that were with him laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. The angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, released them, and told them to go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Here God's own angel was instructing the apostles to violate Americans' false version of Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2:13. The apostles did what the angel told them to do. They entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. We find that in Acts 5:12 through 25. The apostles continued to operate under God regarding spiritual matters. They were again apprehended and brought before the council, who said to them, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should teach not in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Acts 5:28. Acts 5:29 through 32 we find, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.'" My dear friends, in my book, God Betrayed, and also in the book, Render Unto God the Things That Are His, I continue to trace the actions of the apostles throughout the book of Acts, and we see that they continue to act in this manner. We find in Acts 12:5 through 11 that the angel of the Lord violated the popular Americanized versions of Romans 13 by breaking Peter out of prison. Paul was determined to obey God, not man, and not civil government in regard to spiritual matters. Paul wrote on this matter in Romans and many other books in the New Testament. He instructed Christians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Paul simply did not obey the civil government laws which contradicted God's laws relating to spiritual matters, nor did he teach submission to civil government in spiritual matters. He and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison after casting out a demon from a damsel. Acts 16:1 through 24. The masters of the damsel, because they lost the gains of her divination, brought them to the magistrates, charging that they teach customs which are not lawful for them to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Acts 16:19 through 21. Paul was frequently imprisoned as a result of ministering for Christ. He was concerned with obeying God and with casting down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost, by God himself, when he wrote Ephesians 6:10 through 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places." Then he goes on to describe the spiritual armor that we are to put on. Read Ephesians 6:10 through 18, and you'll find that that armor was totally spiritual. Again, I give much more detail of what happened in the book of Acts and the books that I've already mentioned. Let me encourage you to get them and read them and study them. You could also study Fox's Book of Martyrs, Martyr's Mirror, and so on, for the stories of Christians that have been persecuted because they refused to bow down to the state church and the civil government regarding spiritual matters, lost their lives, were horribly tortured. That persecution is continuing today all over the world, my dear friends. Google Voice of the Martyrs and order the magazine, and there you'll find the continuing stories of persecution that are going on throughout the world. This completes my teaching on Romans 13. Again, go to the website churchandstatelaw.com for books, other information, many more resources to help you study these issues. Let me say that sadly, I'm finding that most Christians are apathetic. They could care less. They're not interested in studying and learning the truth about these matters. I hope you're not one of them, dear friend. I hope you listen to these broadcasts. I believe the great majority of Christians are proceeding without spiritual knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's why we're where we're at in America today, dear friends. Again, if you're enjoying this show and other shows on LWRN, please go to www.lwrn.net and make a donation. And remember to frequent the website churchandstatelaw.com.